kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Thank you that we are able to come into your presence, because you've said where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. And Lord, we ask that you would give us ears and hearts in which to take of your word this day. For we ask this now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we have a title as usual, the Lord, I believe, gives to us. And the title today we're going to discuss is Walking Worthy Before the Lord. Walking Worthy Before the Lord. I think sometimes we tend to forget that we're not only saved by the mercy and grace of God, but our salvation in this life includes a daily walk with the Lord. And that is what two people do. That is what you do in a relationship. It's what you do with your friends, your family. You find that you walk each day side by side with whatever the world presents, and everything that we experience, we share, we talk about, we express what the day has brought forth. This is how we're created and made. You see, God created man and woman of which to have fellowship with them, and we know that clearly in the Garden of Eden. The Lord was there amongst them, sharing with them, talking with them, socializing with them. That is how we are made, in the image of God. The same as in the Godhead, they have perfect unity and harmony and oneness. It speaks about relationship. The Son has a relationship with his Father. He's with him. And it's exactly the same with us, that we walk daily with God and we experience that day not just on our own, but also with the Lord who is with us. We're also told that he goes before and he prepares the way. And so our days that we meet each day should be a day of which we discuss, we share, we talk about, we experience together the joys, the pains, the trials, the delays in life. All of this is shared. And I think at times we can be a little religious. We get into a formula, a bit of a ritual. It can become religious. And sometimes we are failing to understand and experience that I walk this day with the Lord, and whatever I experience, whatever I see, I'm not doing this alone. I have somebody who is with me, who lives in me, who knows me even better than myself, and I'm able to share what it is I'm going through or what it is I'm experiencing. And I believe that the Lord, because he's so close to us and so one with us, that whatever our emotions are, become his also. The difference, of course, being is that he's not moved or changed like we are. And we learn from him, we rest in him. But our walk is about relationship. And that's why we're calling this teaching today, Walking Worthy Before the Lord. And we're taking this from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 to 11. And here it opens up with, it says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask you that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Here it is, verse 10, "that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of him, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy." That is talking about walking with the Lord. And we have to learn how to walk with him, because he is most holy. There is no weakness, no defilement at all in Almighty God. And therefore, he teaches us, he equips us, and he empowers us to be able to walk with him. That is why you need to be born again, not of flesh and blood, but of the Spirit of God. Now, the book of Colossians, like these epistles, sometimes you need to just read the introductions to these epistles that you read, or you take some verses out of them, because very often they give you a clue as to what the apostle, what he's trying to emphasize, why he was writing this, and what the Lord was showing him. Because with this epistle to the Colossians, it's an epistle that emphasizes the fact that you are rooted in him. Grounded, in other words. Your roots go deep. For a tree to survive hundreds of years, its roots have to go very, very deep. And we know that the roots of a lot of our old trees, the roots are go deeper than the actual tree itself, what you see visibly. You may see a very tall tree. We can see some very, very huge pines that can be up to 400 or 500 years old. And yet those roots go even deeper. So there is the idea of what the apostle is saying with regard to this epistle, that we are rooted in him. We don't know how deep, how far our roots go in Christ. I would say that you cannot find the beginning and you cannot find the end of your being rooted in him. That's why he's called the Alpha and Omega. He also says in this epistle that we are complete in him. It means that you lack for nothing. Your everyday walk with the Lord in nature is complete. It's done. It's finished. You have no need of anything anymore. You do not need to lust for the things of the world. This is why God is against idolatry, for this very purpose, because you are complete in him. He has provided, he has done everything for your life in this world that you walk in. A completed work that includes your trials, your tests, your disappointments, your joys, or when you feel sad or down, it doesn't matter. You are complete in him. He also tells us in this epistle that you are hidden in him. Now, why does God hide us? That opens up, doesn't it, in Psalm 91. We know that God spoke of Israel in preserving and protecting her like a mother hen who looks after her chicks under her wings. What is this from? From the enemy, from the predators. So God says, I hide you. I am camouflaging you so that you can't be seen by the enemy who would try to destroy you or kill you. This is why when they go and fight in the army, they wear camouflage for the purpose so that they can't be seen so easy by the enemy. And we know a lot of animals, to survive in the wilderness and in the jungle, they are camouflaged from predators. And so this is the idea that we are hidden in him. It also says in this epistle that his peace, his heart, rules in us. Not your heart. He says his peace, his heart, rules in us. That's what we take on when we walk before him. Remember, we're talking about walking worthy before the Lord. And that's why you see the nature of our trials, especially with how the world is going, means that we draw the strength from him. And that's why we shouldn't be moved by fear or whatever it would be to the things that we hear that go on in the world. And we are going to hear some very alarming things as time moves on. And yet we draw our strength from him. His nature rules in us. And he equips us so that we can, as we look at the title here, walking worthy before the Lord. He has and he does equip us in order to walk in fellowship each day with him. It can't just be done in ourselves, as it becomes just dead religious works. So that firstly is what Colossians, this epistle, emphasizes. It's a wonderful reading, these chapters, and I encourage you to get into it and glean from it and draw from it, because that's the emphasis of this epistle. However, let's get back to what we're looking at. We started off with verse 9, where it says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I wish more saints would pray for each other with such prayers like this. We very often pray if somebody is going through a trial or a physical trial, and indeed that is right, we should do. But are you praying for your brother, your sister, Lord, help my brother, help my sister to have a greater knowledge, a greater wisdom and understanding of Christ in them, the hope of glory. Give them wisdom, understanding in their thinking, in their mind, when they read the Word of God. Do we ever pray like that for one another? I'm not sure that we do. And yet the Apostle Paul is praying this for these Christians in Colossae. Why does he pray like that? Because that is what he is experiencing in his walk before God. If you are experiencing these blessings, you cannot help but translate them in your prayers for your brothers and sisters also. We pray all the general prayers that we hear so often, but God wants us to start going deeper in our prayer life, in praying one for another. And I would certainly appreciate saints praying for me that I have a greater knowledge and a wisdom and an understanding of my walk with the Lord and my preaching and teaching of the Word of God. So there it is in verse 9, to teach us how to pray. But I'm not sure how many understand that. And the problem being is because so many are of the opinion, well, that was the apostle praying. Therefore, he had the authority. That's how he prayed. No, it's all there to tell us and show us that we also are to pray in a like way and manner. Then we begin to see churches and Christians and believers really beginning to move forward in what God wants us to experience. Because as I said at the beginning, our walk is a walk before God. And this relationship entails a huge amount. Relationships are all about learning from each other. And to learn from each other, you have to be teachable. You have to be humble. That's how relationships work. And this is why relationships are breaking down. Marriages are breaking down because of pride, of arrogance. They're not going to tell me. I know better. You see, and you can't build any relationship like that. They become toxic. No, we walk humbly before the Lord and before each other. And in our humility, we learn from one another. And that's how we grow in relationship, not only with the Lord, but with each other as an assembly. Because our relationship, even in the assembly, is vital, is important. If we're not right with one another, we hold pride against one another, you are hindered in walking with God. So he says here then in verse 10 that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, this word worthy is an interesting word, which it says here in verse 10. And this Greek word, which is axiao, it means as becoming godly. You are becoming godly, worthy, in other words. We see this word used in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. He says that you walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So we find that there is a practical walk with God each day in fellowship, in covenants, that will enable you to be able to be worthy to enter into the kingdom of God. That is what it means here. We also see this word again used in Ephesians 4, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he says, and he himself gave some. Hang on, I got this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. My apologies. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. I think, again, that gives us another indication of how to pray one for another. That we can pray, Lord, work in my brother, work in my sister, that they may be worthy to walk with you. Teach them to walk with you, that they may indeed enter the kingdom of heaven. I cannot believe that our Heavenly Father would have a deaf ear against that. That's what he wants to hear, us pray one for another. As the apostle expresses here, this is walking in unity. He says, I'm a prisoner of the Lord, but in my affliction, he says, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So do you know that you have a calling on your life? Of course you do. Don't just assume that it's a minister, pastor, or whatever has a calling. We, each of us, have a calling. And that calling is to walk worthy before the Lord. That should be our heart's desire. That is what we should be aiming for. And so on. So there's an interesting example of this word worthy. Well, turning back to Colossians chapter 1, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of him. Now, this word knowledge is an interesting word. The Greek for this is epignosis, and it means a knowledge of where you are correct. It is precise. And all of this is important, particularly with our understanding and learning of the Word of God. You see, the Holy Spirit will not go contrary to his word. The Holy Spirit will only anoint and empower when the Word of God lines up with his knowledge, his wisdom, all that he gives to us through the Holy Spirit, through the anointing. This is why we say so often, it says that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Why? Because it's about knowledge. It's about understanding. It's precise. It's not a hit and miss, or it could be, or whatever. It isn't. God's word is truth. It is light. There is no darkness in it. And therefore, we can have that confidence that we can release our faith and believe upon it. Because as we're told, that faith comes by hearing the word of God. So we should never doubt when we read, we hear the word of God, and the anointing is blessing and teaching. You don't have to fear. It is sound. You can entrust it. You can trust your life, your future, your destiny on that which you are reading, what you are hearing. And if it doesn't line up or it goes against the Holy Spirit, you will get that check. He will begin to show, he will begin to speak. And he will not only do it through yourself, he'll do it through witnesses. And he will confirm and reconfirm and reconfirm until you are fully persuaded that what you have heard is not of the Holy Spirit. That is why we're to discern. We're to test these things. What comes out of a lot of people. We hear so much today. The Lord told me this and the Lord showed me that and so on. A lot of it is so, it's just hype. I'm not saying that it is satanic, but it can come from the flesh. And zeal often comes from the flesh. Zeal is fleshly. I'm all for a zeal for God, but make sure your zeal is according to knowledge and wisdom and understanding. That's the zeal that you should have. And this is what he's implying here, being fruitful in every good work, in increasing in knowledge. You see, I don't believe you can increase in knowledge and be fruitful. Fruit, to be fruitful, and the Lord said, by the fruit you will know them. The only way you can know them by the fruit is that they are growing in knowledge and understanding. Because it's producing it, you see. Those that are unfruitful are not really growing in a knowledge and an understanding of God. Why am I making so much of this? Because you have a brain. And God created, he made our minds, our brains for him, for his glory. That's why it is important, you see. And we can't ignore any of these things. We need this knowledge, we need this understanding, because we're walking in fellowship each day with the Lord, and he wants us to be worthy of that call. And to be worthy, we need to know the Word of God. We need to be able to rightly divide the Word of God. We need to be grounded in the Scriptures. And this is why we spend time when we open the Word of God up, so that we can learn these things, because they're so important. As he says in Colossians 3 and verse 10, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So it means that you have become a new creation. You are now in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And you are now being renewed in knowledge. So when you come to Christ, you receive his Spirit. You are born again. He says, I'm now going to educate you. I'm going to teach you. You need knowledge. Your minds, before you came to me, have been tampered with by the powers of darkness, by the God of this world, who blinds the eyes of many. He says, now I have need of teaching you. Why? Because you're walking with him each day. And it's very, very important. And to sustain that walk, we need to grow in knowledge and wisdom. You see, those that go back and come to the Lord and go back and come to the Lord, and we've seen them backsliding, they're not growing in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And that is why confusion gets in. And what happens to a confused person? They become indecisive. They're not sure. They're not sure what the Lord is saying. They're not sure whether they're hearing from that sermon, whether that's of God or not. They're not reliable, people who are like that. And sadly, we have them in Christendom. And that is always the problem. They're not growing in knowledge and wisdom and understanding in which to walk in relationship with the Lord. And even God helps us with that. That's the amazing thing. Now, we see what happens when you ignore all of this. I've already alluded to it. But if you ignore your learning, your understanding from God, if you don't spend time, if you're not under the anointing, hearing the word of God, not only what you read, but what is being taught to you, you land up eventually what it says in Romans 1 and verse 28. And this is what happens in Romans 1 and verse 28. And it says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind or reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting. So the heresy that we have today amongst Christendom, the lukewarmness, the idolatry that seems to get worse and worse, the Apostle Paul says in verse 28, this is the problem. They do not want to retain the knowledge of God any further in their mind and thinking. This is exactly what we've been talking about. In other words, they don't regard it important enough to walk worthy before the Lord. They have no godly fear. They will now decide for themselves how to worship God. They will twist the scriptures to suit their own lives and so on. That's what it means. And that's what we hear today, so much of it. The word of God is so twisted, so changed. They want to believe what they want to believe. Because they no longer retain knowledge, wisdom, understanding. And they've allowed their minds to become open, and the powers of darkness, the very devil himself, has come like an angel of light, deceiving them. And yet they still call themselves Christians. This isn't talking to the world. This is talking to the church. And that's what makes this so serious. I said earlier on about zeal. And I'm all for zeal if it's led by knowledge and wisdom and understanding. We should be zealous for God, but not a zeal that is after the flesh. Let's turn to Romans 10, verse 2. Romans 10, verse 2. He says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And I believe verse 2 reveals to us why we have some of the heresies that we have today. Probably over the last 150 years, there have been more heresies that have attacked the Christian church than at any other time. And sadly, many of these heresies have come out of the US. They have a zeal, and they have a zeal for God. But as the apostle says, not according to knowledge. They like their own knowledge. They want to be in control of how they approach, how they study, how they understand. They want to be in control, and you can't. This knowledge that comes from above with the understanding comes by humbling yourself where you know nothing, and that you are going to receive revelation from God. And that is how we should always approach the Lord each day when we read the Word of God or when we come to a meeting. Lord, I receive today because I do not know unless you reveal it to me. And I've emphasized that for a number of years now, because that is how our Lord walked each day before his Father. He didn't know, but the Father revealed it to him. That is the knowledge, that is the wisdom, that is the understanding that we need to have. And these ones, he says, who have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, because they're not prepared to receive it from God. I will be in control how I learn. And what is that? Pride. And God says God resists the proud, that gives grace, mercy to the humble. That is how you walk before the Lord. There are many times when I approach the Word of God and I'm preparing these sermons, I'm totally, utterly dependent on God revealing this to me. I can apply knowledge, and I have that knowledge, but I am totally dependent upon the Lord in which to confirm the knowledge or the understanding that I have. Because I could be wrong. And this is where you are thrown on the Lord, you see. And so it's good to have a zeal, and praise God for that, but make sure your zeal is according to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, because then that enables you to be able to walk worthy before the Lord, you see. And that is the difference. Well, let's turn to a few verses to see what God gives to us if we want this. For example, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Do you not want that? Does that not excite you, encourage you, that God is going to give me the spirit of wisdom? He's going to give me revelation. He's going to give me knowledge of him. I don't know about you, but that really excites me, because that enables and helps me to walk worthy before the Lord. And if you are called into the ministry to teach the word of God, then you appreciate that. I appreciate it because I know I don't have it in myself. And he graciously gives it. And again, this is what Paul is praying for these Christians at Ephesus. He says, I want them, Lord, to have the spirit of wisdom. I want them to have revelation. I want them to have knowledge of him. Here's our prayers again. Praying one for another. You know, we can't go wrong with this if we do it God's way. How about chapter 4 And verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13, he says here, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do you realize that these prayers that we've been looking at brings us into perfection? It brings us into a measure, a stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's bringing us to true unity and oneness. We get it all so wrong at times because we still allow our emotions and our feelings and our prejudice to get in the way. And the Apostle Paul doesn't do that. He doesn't emotionally get involved in that way. He prays clearly. He hears from the Lord how to pray. He knows the answer. He knows the root of the problems that lie in churches. And he says, give them knowledge, Lord. Give them understanding. Give them revelation. Give them an understanding of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in them. Because that is what creates true fellowship, koinonia, in the body of Christ. And that's why, as we bring this to a close, going back to Colossians 1, and in verse 9, he says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And this is what helps us to walk before him. Verse 10, which we've been looking at. So you're being filled with knowledge of his will and that wisdom and spiritual understanding that helps us to apply that knowledge, that enables you to be able to walk worthy before the Lord, enriched in faith, trusting him. He's meeting all your needs, your desires, all these things that we have to face in this life. It's not rocket science, this. I know some of you have come to the end of yourself. You feel as though you're banging your head against a brick wall. I don't seem to break through. I'm not breaking through in areas of my life. What is the hindrance? Why is this happening? Here it is. This is what he's saying. I want you to walk worthy before me. That's all that matters. Put away all the anxieties, all the frustrations, the problems that go on at home or with the children or at work or whatever it is. We get so consumed in all of that. We should be consumed about walking worthy each day with him. That is all that matters. I've recently just been going through a stressful time with something that I've had to go through. And it's tailor-made for me. And this anxiety is trying to take hold, and fear. Oh, what if, you know, what if I don't do this or I don't do that, then, it, you know, this could happen. And you start, you're not sleeping at night as you should. And I said, Lord, I cannot go on like this. This is wrong. This is affecting my walk before you. I have need of understanding what it is you're saying to me. I know this is a trial of my faith, but I need to learn from it. And God virtually, almost audibly spoke to me in his mercy and grace, I am sufficient for you for this day. And I got it, because I was worried about next month or the possibility of next year or whatever. I said, Lord, I walk this day with you. It doesn't matter about tomorrow or next week or in 6 months' time. It is today. It's now. And it all lifted. The depression, the heaviness, the anxiety. It's like a spiritual leech. It's trying to sap out the life out of you. It all lifted and it all made sense. And that peace was there. Walk today with him. Leave tomorrow. Leave next week. Don't even regard it. Don't think about it. Just walk this day. It's a covenant relationship. And it was getting in the way of my relationship with him. It was a hindrance. And I saw he didn't want it. And he provides, you see. We eventually get it. We really do. And this is where we learn to know God's will. We know these patterns in our lives. We know sometimes the things that we do meet. We all of us have responsibilities. He knows that. But we're not to become anxious about them. And God will provide in every need. But that knowledge, that wisdom also knows, like the farmer, when to sow the seed. Because that farmer isn't going to sow seed on a windy day. Because you know exactly what's going to happen. It's all going to blow away. So that's how we walk. Each day, I have a knowledge, I have an understanding, I have wisdom for this day to walk with God. And it doesn't matter what the consequences are. It doesn't matter whether people understand you or misunderstand you or whatever it would be, as long as you are right with God and you are walking worthy before him. That is all that matters. If there is anything I think we can learn and glean from this teaching today that we need to settle, if you haven't done it, Lord, I want to walk worthy each day before you and do whatever it takes in my life that may be accomplished for your glory. Now, if you mean that, God's going to do that because we need this certainly now with the great falling away that's taking place. We need to walk worthy before him each day. And he's going to do this. And not only that, but pray it also for your brothers and sisters. Pray it for this church and so on. And these prayers and intercessions are powerful. And God is going to answer them. And we're going to see from walking before him worthy each day, everything that is needed in this life each day will be provided by our Heavenly Father because he loves us. Remember, he first loved us.
Let him in constancy follow.